By special recording, General Mills, makers of Wheaties, Breakfast of Champions, and Cheerios, the oat cereal ready to eat, presents The Lone Ranger. With the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and the hearty Hi-Yo Silver, the Lone Ranger. With his faithful Indian companion Tonto, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains led the fight for law and order in the early western United States. Nowhere in the pages of history can one find a greater champion of justice. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse, Silver. The Lone Ranger rides again.
Come on, Silver. Let's go, big fellow. Hail, Silver. Away!
Champions are made, not born.
Yes, sir.
Get on your way.
Get on your way.
Get on your way with Wheaties.
You'll never get discouraged if you keep in mind champions are made, not born. Let's see how Tom Pierce, pass catching end for the Los Angeles Rams, got on his way. At 12, Tom played football a lot, and many a bump is what he got. But he kept trying, never quit. And here's what helped to keep him fit. He ate his Wheaties every bit. Today, Tom sparks those touchdown drives. It's Wheaties still on which he thrives. Wheaties to Fears. There's a pass combination that's been clicking steady now for 19 years. Real energy in Wheaties. There's a whole kernel of wheat in every Wheaties flake. Okay, Tom, snag that pass.
Hey, he's on his way, on his way. He's on his way, on his way. Get on your way with Wheaties. Cause champions are made, not born.
Yes, sir.
Get on your way.
Get on your way.
Get on your way with Wheaties. Breakfast of Champions.
Even after her marriage to a wealthy Eastern lawyer named Homer Potts, the buxom landlady of the Henry House in Modoc City was still affectionately known as Ma Hank. Though Ma had acquired a husband, she continued to run the hotel. And, as always, she permitted no one else to prepare the food she served in her dining room. It was almost 9:30, and though the day's chores were ended, Ma was still in the big, lamp-lit hotel kitchen doing the baking for the next day's meals. As she took two deliciously fragrant apple pies from the oven, the kitchen door opened.
Howdy, Ma.
Inky.
Her caller was a 14-year-old boy named Inky. Ma had a warm spot in her heart for the thin, freckle-faced orphan who had been adopted by the newspaper editor several years ago. The mischievous, fun-loving boy was a hopeless prankster, but Ma was always glad to see him.
I brought you 2 dozen of tomorrow's papers. Shall I put them in the front lobby?
No, just leave them on the table for the time being, Inky.
Right.
I'll put them out front in the morning.
Tom's wife and I got the paper out. Tom set the type before he left town.
Oh, why'd he leave town?
He went with Marshal Jim Frazier to help guard the gold shipment Wells Fargo's bringing into the local office.
I heard Marshal Jim took a couple of fellas with him to help him do the garden.
Ma, will you be using your horse tonight or tomorrow?
Puddingfoot? No, why?
Well, I wondered if you'd lend him to me.
What for?
To go after Tom and Marshal Jim.
It'll
be doggone exciting helping guard that gold.
If Tom wanted you to go along, Inky, he'd have taken you.
Oh.
Besides, you have work to do here.
I've done the work. I got the paper out, and I haven't a thing to do for the next couple of days.
I'd have to answer to Tom if I let you risk your neck.
I'll explain to Tom. He'd understand.
No. Come on in. The door's not locked.
Ma, will you think it over? I promise you, I'll be mighty careful.
Inky, you might as well forget about it.
Mrs. Potts.
Great sakes alive, look who it is.
The Lone Ranger.
And Tonto.
Oh, my.
Come in, both of you. My land, I'm glad to see you.
It's good to see you, too. Hello, Inky. How are you?
Fine, mister. Did you bring Dan to town?
Oh, Dan's in school in the East.
Oh, I wish I'd known the name of his school. I'd have told Homer to call on the lad.
Oh, is Uncle Homer in the East?
He left for New York this morning. Sit down and make yourselves comfortable.
Well, thank you.
What brought you here?
An outlaw named Spence Burrow.
Never heard of the critter.
He's well known in Missouri and Arkansas.
Him wandered there for robbery, murder.
I wonder what'd bring a crook like him to town unless... Great sakes, lies.
Yes?
What's wrong?
I wonder if he's come here to get the gold Wells Fargo will be holding in town.
What gold?
Here, mister. Take a look at the front page of this paper Inky brought. That article there tells about it. Marshal Jim's gone to Big Rock to help guard the shipment on its way here.
According to this article, the gold will be held at the local Wells Fargo office for 2 days.
That's right. Then it'll go out on the train to the Denver Mint to be made into coins.
Ma, I told you there'd be some excitement over that gold.
You hush, Inky. What's your opinion, mister?
Well, it'd take more than one man to steal that gold shipment.
Maybe Spence Burrow has a partner.
But he was traveling alone.
Oh. Well, in that case, I reckon I was wrong. He probably doesn't even know about the gold.
If he's in town and reads the paper, he'll know about it.
Todd and I hope to talk to Marshal Fraser about Burrow.
The Marshal will be back in a few days, but his deputy's in town.
Then we'll warn him.
Leaving the Lone Ranger and Tonto in Ma Hank's kitchen, Inky went out the back door. Several yards away was the big hotel stable. And as he slowly approached it, Inky thought sadly of the gold shipment.
Just my luck to miss out on the fun of guarding all that gold.
Inky's steps dragged as he passed a stable window.
Gosh, the Lone Ranger left silver in there. I'm going in to see him.
Lifting the bolt on the stable door, Inky went inside. Moonlight, slanting through the windows, shone on the Lone Ranger's mighty stallion.
Golly!
The boy moved to Silver's side and was thrilled when the horse whinnied recognition.
Golly, you remember me, Silver. I'll bet you've helped capture a lot of outlaws since I saw you last. I'd be helping capture some myself right now if I had a horse.
In the next stall, Inky saw Uncle Homer's handsome black. He crossed to Blackie's stall.
Blackie, old boy, I'd like to take you out of here.
The big black tossed his head and pawed the floor of the stable.
You'd like to go with me, wouldn't you, fella?
Then Inky saw Uncle Homer's saddle hanging on the wall.
Oh, golly.
The sight of the saddle so near at hand was the last straw. Temptation was too great for Inky. He decided to borrow the powerful black stallion without Ma's permission. He was taking Blackie's saddle from the rack when he heard the voices of two men approaching the stable. Afraid of being caught there, Inky sought a hiding place. One of the voices Inky heard belonged to Spence Burrow, the man the Lone Ranger and Tonto had been trailing. The other man was a cafe owner named Clyde Roscoe. As they entered the stable, Spence Burrow said,
"That masked man and his Injun pal have been following me. They've been dogging my trail for a long time."
"You're loco, Spence. When I wired you to come and join up with me, I figured you were the gunslinging gent you used to be. Instead of that, your nerves have turned to fiddle strings. You keep jawing about the Lone Ranger and Tonto being on your trail."
"Well, they are.
If you've lost your nerve, say so. Don't use that masked man for a dodge."
"I'll show you something that'll make you lose your nerve. Come on, take a look inside that stall."
"Yeah? What about it?"
"See that big white stallion?"
"Yeah."
"Well, his name's Silver."
"Silver?"
"Yeah. He's the Lone Ranger's what? Horse.
How'd you know he was here?"
"I was heading for your place by way of the back alley so as no one would see me when I spotted the masked man in the engine."
"Were they traveling through the alleys too?"
"Yeah, I reckon the Lone Ranger didn't want anyone to see him in his mask."
"Oh."
"Well, I followed him. They stopped at the marshal's office, but the place was dark, and they found that the back door was locked. Then they came here, left their horses in the stable, and headed for the back door of the hotel. That's when I went to get you."
"Oh, I'm glad to know that masked man's in town."
"Well, that's the reason I can't help you get the gold, Clyde. You'll have to hide me in your place till he and the engine are away from here."
"We have no way of knowing how soon he'll leave."
"I'm not showing myself until he's gone."
"Now, hold on, Spence. We've a chance to grab a fortune. Enough to put us on easy street for the rest of our lives."
"You'd be smart to forget that gold. Clyde, you're in the clear now. Take my advice and stay that way. With a masked man and the redskin around here,
You haven't a chance.
The curtain falls on the first act of our Lone Ranger adventure. Before the next exciting scenes, please permit us to pause for just a few moments.
This is Mel Allen, sports announcer. In my work, I watch a good many champions. And you know something? I've never yet heard of a player born a champion. You take the case of Doak Walker, star ball carrier of the professional Detroit Lions. Walker gets started fast, cuts back with ease, has a terrific change of pace. Every move comes from hours and weeks and seasons of practice. In my opinion, it's important, too, that Doak Walker has been eating Wheaties for 18 years, since he was 9 years old. Sure, Wheaties, breakfast of champions. And that's mighty easy to understand, I'd say. Wheaties are a He-Man food. They help give a guy what it takes to get there and stay there and keep plugging. Naturally. Why, there's a whole kernel of wheat in every Wheaties flake. Now look, maybe you tip the scales at 190, or maybe you're just a little guy dead set to get on your way. All right, bear in mind, champions are made, not born. Get on your way with Wheaties. Breakfast of Champions.
Now to continue. Crouching in Blackie's stall, Inky listened with mounting excitement to the conversation of Spence Burrow and Clyde Roscoe. Ever since he reached his place of concealment, he'd been stifling a desire to sneeze. Trying desperately to control the impulse, he wished the two men would leave so he could report what he'd overheard to the Lone Ranger.
Tell you, Spence, our troubles will be over. We'll figure a way to get rid of that masked man.
Golly.
How long do you risk a tangle with him as long as he has his horse's gun? Why worry about the horse? How'd you like to be struck by one of those hooves? All the Lone Ranger has to do is give the word, and that horse will charge anything on feet. And as for his gun, well, lightning is slow compared to him.
In spite of himself, Inky felt the sneeze coming. He pressed his hand over his mouth and nose. Just then, Uncle Homer's high-spirited horse kicked the partition of his stall. His hoof struck the wood sharply, releasing a cloud of dust. The combination of the dust and the pungent scent of oats and hay was too much for Inky. He sneezed.
Hey, wait, what was that? Someone's in here, Spence. Show yourself. Put that gun away, you jughead. Want to bring the whole town here? Whoever's here overheard us talking. Show yourself and you'll not get hurt. If you don't show yourself, we'll search this place till we find you.
Spence and Clyde began to search the stable, and Inky realized he would soon be discovered. In an effort to escape, he crept past Blackie, quietly opened and closed the stall door. He moved silently across the stable and almost reached the door when moonlight shining through the open door revealed him.
There he is, Clyde. You're changing. Stop or I'll blow your head off. Grab him, Spence. Go in and get away.
A moment later, Spence Burrow made a flying tackle. Grabbing Inky around the knees, he brought him down.
Now put your hand over his mouth so he can't let out a yell.
Right.
Clyde, we better get out of here with this kid.
We'll go down the alley to my place, Spence. Help me carry Inky.
Right.
All right, come on. There, open that door, Spence. It's my private office.
Sure.
It's a good thing no one saw us come here.
Now then, Inky, you say one...
Dirty polecats. Bringing me here won't save you. The Lone Ranger will find out about you and come here looking for me.
How do you know?
He's a friend of mine. I heard him telling Ma Hank about Spence Burrow.
You heard too much for your own good.
We got to get rid of this youngster, Clyde.
I have a shack on Thief River, Spence. We'll take him there. Put that rope on him.
Right.
The Lone Ranger will follow you to the shack. Then he'll capture both of you. You can't get away
with
him.
Shut up. Hold still.
Yeah, he's right, Clyde. That masked man was smart enough to follow me to Modoc City. And trailing us to your shack will be easy for him.
In that case, we'll have to get rid of the Lone Ranger.
Yeah. Well, I know a lot of fellows who tried that.
We'll do it the easy way.
What do you mean?
We'll leave tracks so he'll be sure to follow us to my place. There are a couple of big flat-top rocks in the river about 30 feet from my shack. We'll put Inky on the rocks and leave him there. To rescue him, the masked man will have to take off his guns and swim to the rocks.
Hey,
Without his guns, the Lone Ranger will be as helpless as a crippled duck. We'll open fire on him while he's in the water.
That's a good idea, Clyde, and it might work.
It has to work. I don't plan to let that gent send me to jail. You gag the boy while I get my buckboard set for travel. Then bring him to the saddle shed and we'll head for the shack.
Sometime later, Ma emerged from the hotel kitchen with the Lone Ranger and Tonto. The big landlady was walking with them to the stable where they left their horses. Reaching the stable, Tonto saw the open door.
That may be strange. Wonder who leave door open.
Someone took Blackie's saddle from the rack. If you've a match, I'll get the lantern and take a closer look around in here.
Here's a match, Mrs. Potts. I'll light the lantern.
Thanks, mister. There, that does it.
Himasabi, you look at tracks and ground.
What is it, Tonto?
It looked like fight happened here.
Great day. Here's Inky's head on the floor.
Ma Hanks, you know Inky's footprints?
Yeah, Tonto. That short, narrow footprint is his.
Well, me think him in trouble.
Here are the footprints of two men, Tonto.
That right. Inky fall here.
Oh.
Two feller carry him away.
Oh, my sake's alive.
Come on, Tonto. We'll follow these tracks.
Ma went along, holding the lantern, as the two men followed the footprints to the rear of Clyde Roscoe's cafe. They were about to open the cafe door when Tonto noticed the tracks that led to the nearby shed. Investigating, they recognized the saddle horse inside.
Tonto, that's Burrow's horse.
That right. Tracks show him come here with other feller. Leave town in buckboard.
I'll follow those wagon tracks. You go for the deputy marshal.
And what we tell him?
That Spence Burrow was in town.
I'll tell him Inky's disappeared.
Show the deputy these wagon tracks and ask him to follow them.
He's savvy.
I'll see you later. Adios.
Adios.
It was nearly daybreak when Clyde Roscoe and Spence Burrow reached the shack. They left the wagon beside the building. Then Clyde untied a boat he had left at the river's edge. Placing Inky inside it, they rowed the 30-foot distance to the side of a number of huge flat-topped rocks that jutted out of the water. After placing their prisoner on top of a rock, they rowed back to shore.
Now, come on. Now we'll wait for the masked man, Spence. When he sees Inky on those rocks, he'll try to rescue him. And to make sure there's no boat at hand, we'll turn this one loose.
All right.
As soon as the current catches it, it'll be carried downstream and out of sight.
That way, the Lone Ranger will have to swim out to the rocks.
Right, and he'll take off his guns and gun belt before he goes into the water.
Yeah.
As soon as he's without his guns, we'll open fire from ambush.
While the two plotters sought a place of concealment among the dense brush on shore, Inky tried to work the gag out of his mouth. The bandana that had kept him silent was beginning to loosen. Daylight was well advanced when the Lone Ranger drew rein beside the shack. He dismounted.
Easy, steady, big fella.
Looked at the wagon Clyde and Spence had used and was about to enter the shack when he saw Inky on the rock offshore. At that moment, the gag finally fell away from Inky's mouth. He shouted a warning.
What's that?
The Lone Ranger hurriedly dropped to the ground and crawled to the protection of the shack as the ambushers opened fire. After having seen the deputy marshal, Tonto left Modoc City and followed the trail of his masked friend. He was a short distance from the shack when he heard gunfire. He drew rein, listened for a moment, then dismounted and moved on foot toward the sound. Screened by heavy underbrush, the Indian passed within a few feet of the shack without being seen by the Lone Ranger. Then he heard Spence Burroughs' voice.
Hold your fire, Clyde.
None of that.
And get that masked man from here. We'll not hit him unless he shows himself to shoot.
All right, you stay here and keep firing your gun while I try to close in on the shack.
What do you mean, close in on it?
I'll make my way through the brush until I can draw a bead on it.
I savvy.
Then you come up.
But you'd better hit him with your first shot.
Don't worry, I'll not miss. I've waited too long to gun that critter.
You two, drop gun pronto.
But it's the engine. He's behind us.
Drop guns or me shoot.
Oh, all right, my hands are up.
I'll get that red steel.
No, my arm! My arm! You shot him!
You keep hands up.
They're up. Don't shoot me.
He was happy.
Yes, hello.
Me got drop on crooks. Them over here with hands up.
You tie them, and I'll go after Inky.
Me savvy.
Short time later, Spence Burrow and his friend were riding back to town in the wagon they used to carry Inky away from Modoc City. Tonto was in the driver's seat, while Inky, astride Scout, rode alongside with the Lone Ranger, keeping an eye on the prisoners. They were halfway to town when they met Ma Hank. The huge landlady was accompanied by Deputy Marshal Pete Morgan.
Oh, there.
Oh, now. Oh, Inky, you're all right, thank goodness. Mister, this here is Deputy Pete Morgan.
Howdy.
Howdy, Marshal.
Ma, how'd you know where to find us?
We were following the wagon tracks.
We have two prisoners for you, Deputy.
So I say, mister. I know Clyde Roscoe, but who's the other fella?
Spence Burrow. He's wanted for robbery and murder.
The two of them were going to kill me as well as the Lone Ranger and Tonto. And I overheard them planning to get the gold Marshal Jim's bringing to town.
On the way to town, Inky told all he knew about the two men. When they were safely behind bars in Modoc City's jail, Inky returned to the hotel stable with Ma Hank. After Puddinfoot was back in his stall, Inky said,
I was hiding right over there when I overheard those crooks talking, Ma. If I hadn't sneezed, they'd never have captured me.
Mm-hmm.
I never figured a sneeze could start so much trouble.
If you hadn't been in the stable, you wouldn't have gotten into trouble.
Huh?
What were you doing here?
Well,
were you trying to saddle Homer's horse?
Oh, Ma.
Never mind, Inky. I'll not scold you. In a way, you helped capture those polecats.
Gosh. Just think, Ma.
Hmm?
I helped the Lone Ranger.
Sheriff Sam is a boy of 10. He busts right in the robber's den and gets his man because he knows he's got go power from Cheerios. Yes, he's got go power.
There he goes.
He's feeling his Cheerios. Cheerios. Cheerios.
Want go power? You'll get it from Cheerios. That's right. The delicious O-shaped cereal does good things for your body when you have it every morning in a big bowl of milk. Here's why. Every spoonful of Cheerios and milk contains vitamins, minerals, and proteins your body needs. So a Cheerios breakfast helps give you healthy nerves, good red blood, strong bones and muscles. Enjoy Cheerios every breakfast. Then you'll hear...
He's feeling his Cheerios.
The Lone Ranger, a copyrighted feature of the Lone Ranger Incorporated, is created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Muir Incorporated, directed by Charles D. Livingston, and edited by Fran Stryker. The part of the Lone Ranger is played by Brace Beamer. Your announcer, Fred Foy. The Lone Ranger is brought to you by General Mills every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at this same time. Be sure to listen. This recorded program has come to you from Detroit. This is ABC Radio Network.